Bienvenidos. Good morning. Welcome on this chilly spring morning. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church, a multiracial, multi-ethnic community of faith seeking to live out a gospel of liberation, a gospel of joy. Happy Mother's Day to all who mother, to tired mothers, to brave mothers, to abuelas who raise their whole ecosystems, to godmothers who stand in whatever gaps are needed, to trans mothers who might just now be learning what it feels like to be called mom, to black mothers who are teaching their children how beautiful they are in a world that questions that, to Latina mothers who've carried their children and their dreams to unknown worlds, hoping and believing the best for them, for women and those who give birth, who are grieving miscarriages or facing infertility or uncertain about what rights they'll have tomorrow, for children grieving mothers who have passed away, for each of us, for all of us. Happy Mother's Day. Today we sing a song we know well at Calvary, but it's one we give a little pronoun twist to. She's got the whole world in her hands. So let's stand and give praise to God, our mother, this morning. Let's stand and sing together.
She's got the whole world in her. She's got the wind and the rain in her hand. She's got the wind and the rain in her hand. She's got the wind and the rain in her hand. She's got the whole world in her hand. Baby, she's got the itty bitty baby in her hands. In her hand, she's got the itty bitty baby. She's got the whole world. All the family. She's got all God's family in her hand. She's got all God's family in her hand. She's got all God's family in her hand. She's got the whole world. She's got the whole. She's got the whole world in her hand. She's got the whole world in her hand. She's got the whole. She's got the whole world in her hand. She's got the whole world in her hand. She's got the whole world in her hand. She's got the whole world in her hands.
Please join me in the call to worship. Pueblo de Dios, hoy celebramos la resurrección de Cristo.
We are an Easter people, a people who praise together.
Pueblo de Dios, hoy oramos por el mundo y por nuestra comunidad.
We are an Easter people, a people who praise together.
Pueblo de Dios, hemos congregado para sembrar nuestros sueños y esperanzas. Good morning, Calvary Baptist Church. My name is Corina Lopez, and I am the Deacon of the Week. Please feel welcome, and welcome to our friends who are joining on Facebook, too. I am here for you as additional support throughout the week. Please feel free to contact me by email. With your concerns or celebration, you need someone to talk with or just would have something to share, and you would like someone to pray with you. Please join me in the paz de Dios. La paz del Señor sea con ti. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please profess the peace.
You may be seated. Great job. So we're going to try something that we haven't tried in quite a while. I'm going to see if you're comfortable and you want to see if our children want to come up here and just kind of sit right along this ledge, and we'll make sure that there's space between you. But I want to maybe get a chance to see you a little closer. Is that okay? And if you'd rather not be up here, you can sit on the front pew if that feels better to you. Whatever feels good to you. Yeah? Maybe right here? Maybe you could face me. I know this is all new, right? Can you face me? How does this feel? Pretty good. Now, check out behind you. That's the congregation gathered here, and you're kind of sitting up front. So, normally during the time with children, and when I say normally, what does that even mean? Right? But years ago, when we would do the time with children, we would do it up here. Some of you might remember that, and probably most of you don't remember that. So we're trying it out this morning. And first, I just want to say, it's really good to see you. So one of the things we talk about on Mother's Day, on really any day, we talk about it on Father's Day too, and I'd like to think here we talk about it every day, is love. And the fact that love can get bigger and bigger and bigger when you share it. Sometimes we think that when we share things, we've let go of it, and it means we don't have it anymore, and it's been taken from us, right? So if I hand you this sheet of paper, thank you. Oh, I don't have it anymore. So you took it from me. But we're going to try something out. This is my one prop, so I hope this goes well. Okay, love actually can get bigger. So I want you to help me count this out. So I folded this sheet of paper in half. Now, can you tell me how many corners there are? Wow, that was really fast. I thought maybe we'd have to count them out first. But okay, so we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 corners. Okay, let's try something. I'm going to tear off one of these corners. Let it go. I'm going to share that with you. Can we count the corners now? Try again. Go real slow. Count the corners. Is this a corner? Oh, go ahead.
Five!
There are five. Look, let's do it together. One. Two. It's almost like a magic trick, but it's not. Do you want to keep doing it? What about now? So fast. There's six. Let's keep tearing.
Seven.
I just had to check it out. See, now, what if I tore, like, this gets a little jagged, but it's still kind of there, right? Mm-hmm. And then if I don't even know. Like, it's just, it's, now, this is kind of a silly shape, but wow! Love grew. The corners, the number of corners grew. My goddaughter, when she was little, one of the songs she would sing is one I'm going to not really teach you, but maybe you'll learn it really fast, and it's going to be our prayer this morning. So can I sing it for you? It goes like this. Love grows one by one. Two by two and four by four. Love grows round like a circle and comes back knocking at your front door. So that's our prayer this morning, that love grows one by one, two by two, four by four. Love grows round like a circle and it comes back to you. It comes back knocking at your front door. God, keep loving us and keep teaching us how to love each other. Help us believe that love grows. Amen. So I know we're continuing to learn how to do this, right? But now you're going to get up and you get to go to your Sunday school class this morning. So it's really good to see you this morning. And if you want, you can follow Mr. John, who's waving. I feel like you're having so much fun with me, you're not ready to go. But let's stand up together. And we hope you have a wonderful class this morning. It's really good to see you. Off you go. Oh, see, that's what I mean. Love grows. People come to our parties and we have so much fun together. This is the time in our service where we remind you that in order to have love grow, in order for love, even in the strange shape it takes, to grow, we need resources, time, money, energy, investment. So this is a time in the service where we invite you to reflect on what giving to Calvary looks like to you. May you give joyfully and generously.
Let's pray. I would like to pray today for all the mothers who are suffering the loss of their children or any loved ones. In any circumstances like war or violence around the world, we pray to God for them so that they receive comfort. And I want to pray with the poem written by Joanna Fox. I will read it. Mom, you are a wonderful mother, so gentle, yet not strong, yet so strong. The many ways you show you care always make me feel I belong. Your patience when I am foolish. You guide me when I ask. It seems you can do most anything. You're the master of every task. You're a dependable source of comfort. You're my cushion when I fall. You help in times of trouble. You support me whenever I call. I love you more than you know. You have my total respect. I have my choice of mothers. You be the one I select. Amen.
Scripture lesson will be coming from Luke chapter 7, verses 18 to 23. Now the disciples of John brought news of all these things that Jesus raised a person from the dead to John. And John called two of them in particular among his disciples. He sent them to the Messiah to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" When the disciples had come to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptizer has sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?'" By that time, Jesus had cured many people of diseases, plagues, and evil spirits, and to many blind persons he gave sight. So Jesus answered them, "Go and take this news to John, what you have seen and heard. Those who are blind receive sight. Those who were lame walk. Those who were diseased in skin are cleansed. Those who are deaf hear. Those who were dead are raised. Those who are poor had good news proclaimed to them. Anyone blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." The word of God for the people of God.
Church on Sunday morning, Grandma's hands play the tambourine so well. Grandma's hands used to issue out a warning. She said, "Baby, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass." Grandma's hands. Grandma's hands soothe the local unwed mother. Grandma's hands used arms ache so much and swell. Grandma's hands used to lift her face and tell her she said, "Baby, Grandma understands that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands, Grandma's hands. Oh, Grandma's hands used to hand me piece of candy. Grandma's hands pick me up each time I fell. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in handy." She said, "Mary, don't you with that boy. What you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core, but I don't have grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll look for grandma's hands."
Thank you, Desmond and Chris, and for all of our worship leaders this Mother's Day. I was away from you last week for my business school reunion, so it's good to be back with you today. Perhaps in the spirit of that, I'll give you my thesis up front. This is what I was taught to do at business school. Say what you want to say and then say why. So let's try that today. It actually comes from the Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney, who writes in her commentary, "Resurrection represents the ultimate display of power in the world of the text and in the world that reads the text. It is important to reiterate that resurrection weaves itself throughout Scripture as a witness to God's power." Resurrection weaves through the Scriptures as a witness to God's power. Let's journey together and see what she means and why that matters to us today. Will you pray with me? Mothering God, we thank you for the chance to gather in this place and listen for your Spirit moving in our midst. May we tune in with all of our senses as we hope to see, hear, feel, and know in our bones the good news of resurrection. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in each of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's gospel lesson is an exchange between John the Baptist's disciples and Jesus. John, the one who has been preparing the way, has been imprisoned by state power, so he sends two of his disciples to ask Jesus if he is the Messiah, the one who is to come. They get to Jesus and ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" The narrator takes over for a minute to summarize and make sure we know what is true. By that time, Jesus had cured many people of diseases, plagues, and evil spirits, and to many blind persons he gave sight. And then, rather than answering the question directly, Jesus sends them back to John to tell him what they have seen and heard. Those who were blind receive sight. Those who were lame walk. Those who were diseased in skin are cleansed. Those who were deaf hear. Those who were poor have good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense to me. Gaffney says the Greek is actually a lot more basic than that. Tell John what you've seen and heard. Blind receive sight, lame walk, lepers clean, deaf hear, dead raised, poor good news proclaimed. I've been drawn to this stripped down version this week. Rather than getting lost in a lot of words and phrasing, they're pointed, direct, clear. Essentially, the evidence is before you. Isn't that enough? These phrases probably sound familiar to you as well, and for good reason. When Jesus unrolls the scroll in the temple a few chapters back at the beginning of Luke, he reads a similar passage from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Most High is upon me because God has anointed me to proclaim good news to those who are poor. God has sent me to preach liberation to those who are captives and recovery of sight to those who are blind, to liberate those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of Most High's favor. Resurrection weaves its way throughout the scriptures as a witness to God's power. Resurrection isn't just a New Testament idea. It's everywhere. Commentator Justo Gonzalez says there are essentially six things that characterize the work of God in the Old Testament, and particularly in the stories of Elijah and Elisha. I bet you can rattle them off with me at this point. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor hear good news. He continues, the kingdom of God is a radical reversal of the existing orders. Litanies like this show up three times in Isaiah, but the evidence of them stretches beyond. Just before today's gospel passage, Jesus raises a widow's son from the dead. He'll do the same for Lazarus and Jairus' daughter, not to mention his own resurrection. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah raises the son of a widow who was poor. In 2 Kings 4, Elisha raises the Shunammite woman's son. In Acts 9, Peter raises Tabitha. In Acts 20, Paul raises the man who settles into a deep sleep and falls from the roof to his death. Resurrection persists. Resurrection weaves its way throughout the scriptures as a witness to God's power. Perhaps I've implied it thus far, but resurrection is not just the raising of the dead. So is the blind receiving sight, lame walk, lepers clean, deaf hear, and poor good news proclaimed. As we see and hear what it is Jesus is up to, it's worth paying attention to how proximate Jesus is to those he heals. He draws near. He's not just praying off on a mountaintop somewhere. He's spitting in the dirt, making a paste in his hands, and placing it on the eyes of the blind. He's placing his hands on the leper and being touched by the hemorrhaging woman. It's worth noting as well, to be deaf, blind, lame, a leper, a prisoner, or poor was to be one who was cast out from community in an ancient Near Eastern culture. In fact, they often thought those with disabilities or oppressions were the results of sin. Being near those called unclean would make Jesus unclean too, but obviously that does not stop him. As Jesus goes about his healing, he turns the hierarchy of who is in and who is out upside down on its head. Don't forget that women were still considered property in this context. So to stop and raise a widow's son would have been unthinkable. And yet this is what Jesus does. If we're seeing and hearing, we see that the blind, deaf, poor, and oppressed are not just restored to community. They are at the very center of Jesus' concern. What are we to make of this today? What are we to see and hear this week as the few remaining rights to reproductive justice seem to be on their way out the door? Though, if we're honest, they've never actually been fully available to the poor, the oppressed, the marginalized. Where might we find Jesus this day, this week? With whom is Jesus keeping company, placing at the very center of his concern? I know I've mentioned Sonia Renee Taylor's work to you before. She wrote a book entitled The Body is Not an Apology. She talks a lot about how we're so obsessed with ranking bodies. One day when she'd had enough, she went outside, turned on her video, and shared from her exasperation and her wisdom about the nuances of oppression. She invited us to imagine a ladder of bodily hierarchy. Imagine it here with me, where we have assigned value to bodies on a multitude of levels. She said, think about identities and then plug those bodies into the ladder, the social ladder. Who does society say has a better body based on race, gender, sexual orientation, class, etc.? She says, you can put it all on the ladder. She continued, imagine who you think might be at the bottom of that ladder. What bodies are at the bottom of that ladder? What bodies do we not think of that might be at the bottom of that ladder? She said, think about whether you're taking up too much space in a conversation. Think about the ladder. Who's impacted more? That is how you decenter yourself. It doesn't have to be difficult. Who is having an experience that is different than the experience you are having because they're lower on the rung? Sounding a lot like Jesus to me, she said, we have to dismantle oppression from the lowest rung. The darkest people, the fattest people, the most gender nonconforming, the most disabled, because if you dismantle the ladder for them, the rest collapses. She slows for a moment to say, we don't want to get out of our own positionality of I'm the most marginalized because we don't want to decenter ourselves and look at our own places of domination. We must acknowledge that we're in some complex hybrid of oppression and domination because that's the society that we're constructed in. And begin thinking about where your experience of domination or oppression is obscuring your ability to see. She concluded by saying, center the voices of people who are more adversely impacted. When we actually end their oppression, all the other things get resolved. They're not sustainable if we don't maintain the foundation at the bottom, figure out where you are on the ladder, and then get out of the way. Did you know that the religious right didn't actually rise in this country around Roe versus Wade? No. The religious right actually got its rise because Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina, lost its tax-exempt status because they refused to admit black students. In fact, when Roe versus Wade came down in 1973, W.A. Criswell, former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, spoke out in support of the decision. If we really want to understand the tentacles of this movement, who it's targeting and who it's seeking to control, it's worth understanding its history. The moral majority leaders knew they couldn't directly rally people around segregation and race. So they tested a number of messages until they found one that would land, and it ended up being abortion, but not until 1979, 6 years later. Jaleesa R. Milton writes about abortion and the politicization of black women's bodies. She says, "The reproductive autonomy of black women has traditionally been stripped through law in our country. As enslaved black women were commonly forced to engage in sexual activity through rape, their mothering labor was controlled and appropriated, their children sold." It keeps going. "Enslaved women were also harshly criminalized for infanticide, despite the horrors of slavery, and in cases where they gave birth to stillborn babies or infants that died shortly thereafter, legal recourse was rare because of their legal status. These punitive cases were sensationalized by racist tropes of the violent and monstrous black mother. Further, in order to maintain and justify the treatment of black women at the time, racist characterizations of black women and girls' sexual health and motherhood persisted during that time and included stereotypes around black women's sexual prowess, criminality, lack of intelligence, and inherently sexually deviant behavior." That's a lot, y'all. That's a lot. But I think if we're to understand the tentacles of the movement, we have to go back to understanding the beginning and how it was built. Did you know that black women are 3 times more likely to die from a pregnancy-related cause than white women? That death rates for infants born to black Americans with advanced degrees are higher than that of white Americans who did not go to high school? That the U.S. is the only industrialized nation where black maternal health is getting worse? That the U.S. has the highest maternal and infant mortality rate among comparable developed countries? This Mother's Day, we owe it to black moms to finally address the maternal health crisis. One thing I feel certain of at this point in my life is that I do not have all the answers. That said, as we wonder where Jesus might be in our midst on this Mother's Day Sunday, proclaiming good news to the poor, release to the captives, the year of Jubilee, I feel willing to follow the lead of Sister Song, Women of Color, Reproductive Justice, in their Mother's Day initiative. Along with a number of other organizations, they're teaming up to bail out black mothers in pretrial detention. They haven't been convicted, but they don't have funds for bail. Seems like a place where we might find Jesus setting the captives free and preaching good news to the poor? Might we center their needs for housing, a livable wage, paid paternal leave, parental leave, safe communities with grocery stores and good schools, and accessible quality health care for themselves and their families? Whatever it is that they actually need to live. Wombs have been and continue to be a political lightning rod. Clearly, beloved mothers, you matter. Whether you have physically given birth, lost a pregnancy, or had to anyone for any reason, tried to conceive and give birth, mothered children who are not your own, or are part of a village helping to raise children, including all of you who teach and care for our children here. Your mothering matters. So many of you are offering mothering care to the 10, soon to be 11, children who are refugees from Afghanistan, trying to make a new home and a new life here. Beloved ones, honoring mothers in all the ways that so many mother, regardless of sex, gender, age, or role, we give thanks for the ways that you nurture, for the ways that you gather your children under your wings, the ways that you love the world with gladness today. On a chilly Sunday in the Easter season, where there seem to be many reasons for concern, for this we rejoice and say, Happy Mother's Day.
And joy it's been to be gathered together in worship this morning. I'll invite you to take just a moment to turn to the announcements portion of your bulletin, glance over that, particularly the family potluck gathering there at the bottom of announcement with our Afghan refugee family. This is an opportunity to meet them in person, the whole family. So if you're able to do that, please mark your calendars and plan towards it. And then, of course, if you have any particular questions, Carol Blythe is your person. So to segue, you can talk to her perhaps. I know she's down in the nursery, but she'll probably be at coffee hour at some point. Coffee hour. So join us downstairs outside. I know it's chilly, but we'll keep each other warm outside for coffee hour. So we have coffee and snacks outdoors. Parents, just know your children are still doing programming for the next few minutes. So enjoy coffee hour a minute and then get to them at about 11:30. What else? The special request from Sanctuary DMV I talked about last week. Just stay mindful of that and keep supporting as you're able. Go with this blessing. Love grows. Two by two. One by one. Two by two. I was got too excited. It was already growing in me. Four by four. Love grows round like a circle. And then it comes back knocking at your front door. Let this love knock at your front door this Mother's Day and every day. Amen.